Raise your hand if you take a dietary supplement. I do. My hand's up. I'm not alone. Walk into any nutritional supplement store. You'll find a dazzling array of exotic-sounding products. You got chia shots, cat's claw, olive leaf, resveratrol, triple-strength fish oil, products that claim to do things like promote joint, brain, and skin health, retain youthful DNA, or support general well-being. As for that indigestion you've been having, you can pick up a bottle of activated charcoal or papaya enzyme. Of course, turn the pill bottles around, and you'll also read, quote, "These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease." Why not? Why aren't these products subjected to the same strict standards as the drugs you get from the pharmacy? Are these natural products any safer than pills manufactured by major drug companies? Are they more effective? One of my next guests says, not really. His new book, Do You Believe in Magic?, takes aim at alternative medicine, and he writes about cases where alternative treatments have been downright dangerous and deadly. But not everyone agrees. That's what we'll be talking about this hour. Should alternative medicine have a place at the table with conventional Western treatments? Does it belong in our hospitals and doctors' offices? Have we done the studies to make that decision today? What do you think? Let me introduce my guests. Dr. Paul Offit is the author of Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Offit.
Thanks, Ira.
You're welcome. Dr. Victoria Mays is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Mays.
Thank you so much.
Let me begin with you, Dr. Offit. You begin your book by saying, the truth is there's no such thing as conventional or alternative or complementary or integrative or holistic medicine. There's only medicine that works and medicine that doesn't.
I think that's right. I think if an alternative medicine works, then it's medicine. And if alternative medicine doesn't work, then it's not an alternative. I think we all want the same thing, which is our best health. And the question is how best to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mazes, you're the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, where you integrate Western and alternative medicine. Why do you think people are so interested in alternative treatments?
Well, I think that for a long time we believed that Western medicine would have the answers for everything. And in the Center for Integrative Medicine, we recommend Western medicine. I think that there are miraculous advances like joint replacements, antibiotics for infectious diseases. But we also know that we have chronic diseases that are rampant in the United States, where our medications have been of very limited effectiveness, and people want some other way to treat themselves.
Mm-hmm. Would you disagree with that, Paul?
Not at all. I think Dr. Mays is exactly right. The question, of course, is when one proposes a treatment, if you propose, for example, that saw palmetto is a treatment for enlarged prostates, the consumer, I think, is best served when there is clear evidence that that's true and we know what the safety profile of that is. And we can guarantee that what it says on the label is exactly what's in the bottle. That's all I'm asking for, is just legitimize this sort of para industry, this $34 billion industry that largely lives on testimonials and celebrity endorsements.
Well, let's talk about some specifics. You say that acupuncture is by definition a sham, a trick, a deception.
Right. Well, acupuncture is the product of 2nd century BC China. This was a culture that not only didn't believe in dissection, but punished those who dissected human bodies by death, which was quite discouraging. So what they believed was that the body was composed of 365 different parts because there are 365 days in the year. They believed that there were 12 meridians, these longitudinal arcs into which one inserted these needles, because there are 12 great rivers in China. So if you believe that human anatomy has nothing to do with rivers in China or days of the year, they were making it up, which is to say there's nothing accurate about acupuncture. And there are a number of studies done showing that it really doesn't matter where you place the needles. And some recent studies done by Ed Edward Ernst in England, showing that it doesn't even matter whether you put the needles under the skin. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that acupuncture doesn't work. I think that there are some really cool studies showing that there are people that can learn to release their own endorphins, these kind of pain-relieving medicines that is produced by your pituitary and hypothalamus. And so I think if that's true, why does that happen? What is it about that interaction between the acupuncturist and the patient that is therapeutic? Is it just that one's lying down and being talked to gently and smelling incense and listening to music? Is it just the pressure of the needle that teaches one to relax or reduce stress mediators? I think this is all understandable. We don't need to look to the gods to try and figure this out. This is Science Friday. I think it's a scientific issue and it can be examined scientifically.
So you're saying that we don't know how it works, but it does work.